Welcome in, everybody. It's the Locked On Eagles podcast. Louis DiBiase, as always, joining you on today's edition of the show. What's going on? It is Monday, May 6th, and we are starting up another week of podcasts. As always, we are a daily Philadelphia Eagles podcast, your only daily source of the Eagles, and that's why you got to make sure to subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, Himalaya, wherever you listen to podcasts. We are up and available on those platforms with my co-hosts Gino Camilleri and Lars Lewis. Both of those guys are off today, so it's just me joining you on this, again, Monday edition of the show. And what we're going to get into today is what I would have done if we're going to go back to a couple weeks ago when that big giant event we prepared for about 4 months came up. It was the NFL draft, and the Eagles, while I thought had a really strong draft, I think the quality of the picks, while there weren't as many as we would have liked, I think the quality of the players they got, especially at the top with Andre Dillard, Miles Sanders, and J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, I think they got a really nice haul in the first two rounds, and I like the Sharif Miller pick in the fourth. But for me, there were certain players, there were certain situations that arose during the draft that I would have did things differently compared to Howie Roseman. I think you even know that based on the players we were mentioning in the first round when they moved up from pick 25 to 22. During the second round, when a certain player was falling into the 50s, I was clamoring for them. So I'm sure if for you guys that follow me on Twitter, at DiBiaseLOE out there, I got a good amount of feedback from that. I mean, there were a lot of other people that thought maybe they were going to do what I thought they were going to do. So what I want to do today is just put myself in Howie Roseman's shoes and kind of, and it's not right now, so I'm not going to do this where, what would I do right now currently? Because if I knew how the board fell, it would have been a little different. What I'm going to do is I'm going to go back into my brain from, I'm going to go back in time to the Lou of 2 weeks ago while I was digesting everything breaking down during the draft. And I'm going to do basically what I would have done if I was Howie Roseman when the board fell that very favorable way from pick 1 to pick 21. But right before the Eagles decided to move up, what I would have done there, what I would have done the way the board fell on day 2 in the second round, maybe in the fourth as well. Would I have still traded up in the first round? Would I have moved down in the second round? Maybe move up? So that's what we're going to get into today, is what Louis DiBiase would have did if he was Howie Roseman during the draft. So still going to pretend like I know how the board fell ahead of the Eagles picks, but the ones behind them, I'm going to pretend that I don't know what happened. Because if that was the case, let's say hypothetically I knew DK Metcalf was going to fall all the way to a certain pick, I might not take him in the first round. I might not take him in the second round. So that's what we're going to get into today on the Locked On Eagles podcast. And again, we are a daily podcast, so we do hope you subscribe to the show. If you can, leave a 5-star rate, hopefully a review as well. We are getting close to football season. I know 4 months still sounds like a long ways away, 4 months to me is really quick, especially considering how quick the draft came up in free agency. The NFL season is going to come before you know it, again, 4 months away. And the great part of why it's a slow news time during this time of year, but why I love post-draft season in the NFL is because then you kind of feel, okay, you can hear the rumblings, you can hear, it's almost like the White Walkers in Game of Thrones, you can hear them coming, and it's right around the corner. All you got to do is enjoy your summer when the weather is incredible. And yes, even for the people up north, it is incredible weather. Fantasy football, drafts are coming up, so you're going to get excited for that. The Eagles have mandatory OTA or mandatory minicamp starting on June 11th. That goes till the 13th. So in about a month, they already have hit the field right now for OTAs. So you get that going right now, and then training camp comes. We got some interesting roster battles. The preseason will be there, and then before you know it, this Eagles team will be hitting the field for the 2019 season, which is one that should be much anticipated because this team, to me, is loaded and ready to get back to the dominance in the regular season specifically because they still had the playoff success last year. But I think this year, you're going to see them get back to their 2017 form in the regular season, where last year, it just there were so many injuries, there were issues with performances up front on the offensive line and the defense blowing games in the fourth quarter after the offense couldn't really put it away. So there was a lot of stress. There was a lot of up and downs, a roller coaster of a 2018 regular season. And I think the 2019 season could be a lot more similar to 2017. And then by the looks of the national media, by the look at draft grades of power rankings, it looks like the majority of the NFL universe agrees with that assessment. So, but again, I want to get into back to the draft as we kind of still await some of the big storylines for the Eagles on the practice field, for training camp, and throughout the summer. Still want to kind of get into the draft a little bit more this week, as we've only had 1 week pass since the Eagles were selecting Dillard and Sanders and Arcega Whiteside and Miller and Clayton Thorson. So there's still a lot to get into about the 2019 NFL's draft. So that's coming up right here on the Locked On Eagles podcast. Guys, remember the time that you were always ready to go? It's time to get that confidence and performance back to their prime days. BlueChew.com, that's blue like the color blue. BlueChew brings you the first chewable with the same FDA-approved active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, so you know they work. You can take them anytime, day or night, even on a full stomach, and since they're chewable, they work up to twice as fast as a pill, so you can be ready whenever an opportunity arises. Now, this just isn't for guys who can't perform. It's for any guy who wants to extra function to enhance their performance in the bedroom. Blue Chew is prescribed online and shipped straight to your door in a discreet package, so no in-person doctor visits, no waiting in the pharmacy, and best of all, no awkwardness. They're made in the USA, and since Blue Chew prepares and ships direct, they're cheaper than a pharmacy. Right now, we've got a special deal for our Lockdown Eagles listeners. Visit BlueChew.com and get your free shipment when you use our special promo code LOCKEDON. Just pay $5 shipping and you will get your first shipment for free. Again, that's Blue, B-L-U-E, Chew.com, promo code LOCKEDON to try it free. Blue Chew is the better, cheaper, faster choice, and we thank them for sponsoring the Lockdown Eagles podcast today. All right, everybody, welcome back to the show. It's Louie DiBiase on this Monday edition of Locked On Eagles. We are still getting into the 2019 NFL draft, but a little spin on it now that we've kind of digested what Howie Roseman and Joe Douglas did for the Eagles during the draft. We really evaluated the actual selections last week, kind of talked about how it affected the Eagles players already on the roster. So we do recommend you go check that podcast out where we got into, okay, does this positively or negatively affect a Rasul Douglas or a Chris Long? Based on, while he did still take a pass rusher, it was in the fourth round with Sharif Miller. So we got into that. We got into winners and losers just across the NFL. So if you're looking for some good NFL talk with other teams involved as well, we had that podcast last week, got into the Zach Brown signing and how Howie Roseman has really just struck value gold with some of these role players that he's brought in the past couple of years. So a bunch of good shows for you last week to check out. So once again, just head over to any podcast platform. Just tell Siri, just tell Alexa to play Locked On Eagles. Or if you're on your desktop at work, LockedOnEagles.com has every single podcast that me and Gino have recorded. So you can go check it out as well on the mothership, LockedOnEagles.com. But again, as I said in the first segment, we're going to now put me in Howie Roseman's shoes. Basically, though, I'm going to go back into my head from the 2019 draft. I'm going to pretend as if I don't know what happens after the Eagles picks. I'm digesting the draft as it happens, watching the board fall as it does, and then when the Eagles are on the clock or close to it, what I would have done if I had the pick instead of talking about what Howie Roseman was going to do with the pick. So let's start that up for this first segment of the game. We're going to do rounds 1 through 2, and then since the Eagles didn't have a third-round pick on our final segment, I will go through rounds 4, 5, and 6 for what I would have done if I had final say in the Philadelphia Eagles personnel department. So, and again, it goes to show, based on what I would have done, it goes to show maybe I didn't have the best understanding of boards, other teams' boards, or that I was just a lot higher on certain players than the Philadelphia Eagles were and that the NFL really was. And we'll go to pick 25, but I want to say we're going to go into this hypothetical with the board falling up until pick 21, which by my understanding, yes, Green Bay took Darnell Savage, the safety out of Maryland. So that came up to pick 22, where the Baltimore Ravens were on the clock. The Eagles made the move up. They gave up a fourth-round pick and a sixth-round pick for Andre Dillard, a move that I really like. Great pass protection experience at Washington State, a lot of upside, athleticism on the edge for the left tackle of the future to take over for Jason Peters, I'm really happy with the move. I would have considered doing it if I was Howie Roseman, but considering Josh Jacobs was still on the board, Hollywood Brown was still on the board, safeties that fell, but I thought were going to be first-round picks, and Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, Nazir Adderley, those guys are still available. The Montez Sweats of the world were still on the board, and Andre Dillard was still there. So was Titus Howard. So was Jawan Taylor, the Florida tackle that I thought was going to be a top 10 pick. I had him mocked to Jacksonville at 7th overall. So based on the way the board fell after pick 21 with that Darnell Savage pick to Green Bay, I was over the moon. And if you go back to the live show, which is also archived, you can go back and see that I was going to be happy really no matter what the pick was, as long as it wasn't a cornerback. So I truthfully probably would have stayed at pick 25. Again, with Jawan Taylor there, Montez Sweat, Hollywood, Josh Jacobs, there was so many players still, both safeties that I was a big fan of. I was okay with sitting there at 25 and kind of just taking the best player available that was there, because there were so many players still that I was excited about getting, and there were only three picks until they were on the clock. So there was enough. There were more than three prospects that I was really high on that I wouldn't have gave up the 4th-round pick and the 6th-round pick, and I would have taken, honestly, between all of those guys. Josh Jacobs would have been the pick, but he breaks the hearts of Eagles fans. The Raiders break the hearts of Eagles fans that wanted Jacobs. He goes at pick 24. So for me, it would have been down to Jawan Taylor, Montez Sweat, or probably DK Metcalf, truthfully. And I would have took Montez Sweat. I think he was a player that was going to go top 10 if it wasn't for this whole heart condition that was misdiagnosed at the combine. Much like Brian Burns, a lot of raw upside. This dude tested like a wide receiver. He ran in, what, the 4.3s? Huge length, power, great against the run already, which is something Brian Burns hasn't got down yet. Sweat is already really good on the edge doing that, which is a big plus for the Eagles, who like to have run-stopping edge rushers, right, with Brandon Graham and Derek Barnett and Vinnie Curry. So I think Montez Sweat would have been the pick to pair up with Derek Barnett for the future. It would have been really down to, again, him, Metcalf, and Taylor. Three guys that I thought would have went top 15. I like Josh Jacobs, Hollywood Brown, those safeties. While, let's just move Josh Jacobs out of this equation because he wasn't there. While those other players I would have been very comfortable taking at 25, there were other value picks to be had that still made sense for what the Eagles needed at their positions of need. So I would have went with Montez Sweat there. I would have stayed put at 25, which means I keep my 4th-round pick, one of my 2 4th-round picks, and I also keep that 6th-round pick that the Eagles parted ways with, and they gave it to Baltimore. So in the 2nd round, the Eagles are on the clock again at pick 53, and the board just falls in the perfect way you could think of. Corner, corner, tackle, receiver, tackle, tackle, corner, corner, a quarterback, a linebacker, 2 more corners go, another linebacker, a center, a tight end. The board fell perfectly. Those are all the positions that went before the Eagles, and they're sitting there with all these options. They end up going with Miles Sanders, which I really like. I wanted them to get a do-it-all feature running back of the future because, as you guys have heard me harp on all winter long, that, to me, can go a long way for Carson Wentz and for the offense. It was really the last missing piece of the puzzle, was that final stone on the gauntlet, right? To make a Marvel reference, if you will. But to me, I see DK Metcalf falling all the way to 53. This was a player that I would have ran to the board at 53. And you guys probably know, again, if you follow me on Twitter, kept saying, DK Metcalf, how is he falling? How is he falling? The NFL, look, it's a groupthink league, especially in front offices. I don't think people talk about it enough, and I think that 3-cone drill thing really hurt his stock. Some people are saying that he was a media creation. I disagree. I think he was the consensus wide receiver one for a reason, and I think there was a lot of overreacting going on about DK Metcalf. The health thing, the neck injury, that is a legitimate concern. If that's the reason he fell, I understand, but that slow three-cone drill, it's again why you shouldn't go all in on evaluating a player based on how they test in shorts. And while you can make the argument people did that for DK Metcalf, on the film, I saw a guy that had the ability, not only athletic ability, that runs a 4.3, that's an absolute burner, but then has the size of a Calvin Johnson that if you're going to double team him or triple team him, he can still go up and get that pass and pick it out of the air. He can become, he has that potential to become an elite receiver, but it's also because I saw the twerk, I saw the quick twitch, I saw him be able to get off press coverage and beat people based on route running. The problem was for Ole Miss, this is the thing, you can be concerned that he didn't run a lot of routes at Ole Miss, but that certainly didn't hurt A.J. Brown's stock as he went in the second round of the Tennessee Titans. He went ahead of D.K. Metcalf. You shouldn't fault D.K. Metcalf for not running routes, because that to me was something, not running a very deep route tree, because that's on Ole Miss. They're just a offense that only runs a couple routes for the wide receivers. So just because he wasn't asked to do it doesn't mean that he cannot do it. And there was just so much. I'm an upside guy to a fault, so I'm always going to go for the guy that has the higher ceiling unless there are legitimate concerns. Normally, I lean towards the guy with the higher ceiling than the higher floor. I really like J.J. Arcega-Whiteside. I really like Mecole Hardman. I think Andy Isabella could be a really good Aguilar-like deep threat in the slot for the Arizona Cardinals. I think the Titans will get a good amount out of A.J. Brown to start his career. I'm not a big A.J. Brown guy. I think he kind of has that Jordan Matthews feel where he's going to tap out in the slot and not really translate well to the outside. Even if Arcega-Whiteside pans out to be a really good receiver, I think D.K. Metcalf is going to be a special receiver. I think Seattle stole him at the bottom of the second round. So at 53, me and Gino thought it was a pipe dream for him to be available at 25. And again, if we're doing this based on how I was feeling at the time of the draft, DK Metcalf was the pick to put him in this offense with Carson Wentz. Would have been an incredible pairing. So yeah, even though Arcega-Whiteside to me is still a very good prospect, I think the Eagles, I think the Chiefs, I think the Titans, I think the Cardinals, I even think the Patriots at pick 32, taking N'Keal Harry. Not sure about the Ravens because I think Hollywood Brown's going to be a star, but I think those other teams that took the N'Keal Harrys of the world and the Andy Isabellas and the Arcega-Whitesides and the A.J. Browns, I really think those teams are going to come to regret not taking D.K. Metcalf. He is someone I am really high on, and yeah, I do miss out on Miles Sanders at that pick then, but I'm willing to risk losing Miles Sanders because there's a lot of safety talent still available in the second round. David Montgomery is still on the board, Daryl Henderson, and for the people that really listen to the podcast throughout the draft process, you know that I was really high on the likes of Bruce Anderson, Darwin Thompson, Justice Hill, you know, a bunch of running backs, James Williams from Washington State, that I would have been comfortable waiting on running back, even if it's only waiting till pick 57. And that's what we're going to get into next. We only have three picks until the Eagles are back up on the clock. And at 57, I mean, Chauncey Gardner-Johnson is still on the board, which to me was mind-blowing. I couldn't understand why. I thought he was going to be someone that probably went top 20 in the draft. So he's still available. Nazir Adderley's still available because in real life he goes to the Chargers at pick 60. So the Eagles have their pick of the litter with those two safeties. They also have Miles Sanders. To me, I think it would still be on the board. I think the Chiefs were still going to move up and take Mecole Hardman there at 56. They need a deep threat to replace Tyreek Hill. When they part ways with Tyreek Hill, I'm not sure still what's going to go on with that situation. But then Houston's back-to-back picks, I think they were going to double down at tackle, taking Max Sharping from Northern Illinois, because Titus Howard is such an unknown, even as a first-round pick, a player I liked. Still an unknown, that doubling down there made sense. And then they took Lonnie Johnson, the corner out of Kentucky. They have Lamar Miller already. I'm not sure if they would have went with Miles Sanders. The Chiefs, you could justify doing that, but they had Williams, they had Hyde, they went with Darwin Thompson in the draft, so they were interested in running backs, but I think the Eagles still would have had a legitimate chance at Miles Sanders at pick 57. But let's say that he's off the board, just for the sake of this hypothetical. Let's say Houston takes him with one of those picks, or if the Chiefs don't move up for Hardman, let's say another team does for Miles Sanders, much like the Vikings did a couple years ago for Dalvin Cook. I would have went with Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, a player that can play in the slot. He's a safety, great tackler. He just seems like that Malcolm Jenkins type of mold. That versatility in the secondary that Jim Schwartz and this Eagles defense, Corey Unlin, really likes to have, right? Kind of like Avante Maddox, that kind of player that can not only be your safety of the future with the aging Rodney McLeod and Malcolm Jenkins, while still great players, they are both getting up there in years, early 30s, late 20s, but at the same time, he can play that third safety role, which I wouldn't have been really overly concerned if I. That's why I'm fine with the Eagles not taking a safety in this draft, because I think guys like Avante Maddox can do it, Jalen Mills, Trey Sullivan, I think Rasul Douglas. But because Jim Schwartz is so bullish on the corners moving over to safety, unless it's based on a huge necessity like it was last year, I would have ended up getting him a safety here in the second round. And to me, between Adderley and CGJ, it would have been Gardner Johnson. I don't know if Geno would have did that. He probably would have took his boy from Delaware in Nazir Adderley. But so that's what I would have did for the first two rounds. I would have went with Montez Sweat at pick 25. I would have stayed put. I would have sat on my hands, kept that fourth and sixth round pick. Round two, I would have took DK Metcalf. I think he's a special talent. He's someone that, much like J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, you would take to be a future outside receiver, can also replace Aguilar if you want, but the good thing about that move is if you want to re-sign Nelson Aguilar next year, taking him, like if you took an A.J. Brown or a Deebo Samuel, to me that would have said, okay, it's over for Aguilar. But Metcalf would have been part of the future, much like Arcega-Whiteside would have been, but to me, again, if we're going based on who's going to be the better wide receiver one down the road, maybe Arcega-Whiteside's better his rookie year, much like an A.J. Brown guy is. Again, for me, I'm an endgame kind of guy. Damn, I've already made two Avengers references today, and I haven't even seen the movie yet. Shout out to LeSean McCoy, by the way, for spoiling that. Thank you very much. Anyway, I'm a ceiling guy to a fault. But to me, with DK Metcalf, I don't think I'm going to regret being that high on his potential. So I would have took him for the Eagles at 53 and then at 57. If Miles Sanders is off the board there, I probably pass on Montgomery and Henderson, and I end up going with one of those safeties because, again, at the time I thought the value was just too good to pass up at 57 for two guys I thought would have went in the first round. All right, coming up next, when we wrap up today's edition of Locked On Eagles, I will get into rounds 4 through 6 because the Eagles did not have a seventh round pick moving down, but in my hypothetical, I keep the fourth and the sixth round pick, so I have a fourth, a fifth, and a sixth to make three final selections with, and that's what we'll do coming up next right here on today's edition of Locked On Eagles. All right, everybody, wrapping up today's edition of the Locked On Eagles podcast. Once again, thank you for joining me on today's edition of the show. So to wrap up again, to recap what I did rounds 1 through 2 with those three picks the Eagles had, if I was Howie Roseman at the time of the draft, seeing the board fall up until they were on the clock, I would have went with Montez Sweat. Because Dillard probably wouldn't have fell, he would have went to the Houston Texans. That's why they took Titus Howard. To me, it's because they were devastated. They couldn't get Dillard. So Josh Jacobs goes to the Raiders at 24. We have the options of Jawan Taylor, Montez Sweat, Hollywood Brown, those safeties, and Chauncey Gardner-Johnson and Azeer Adderley. I would have taken Montez Sweat of all of those players. And then at 53, would have went with DK Metcalf. Again, I think he is a stud. And I like Arcega-Whiteside. I like all the receivers, really, that wasn't A.J. Brown that went ahead of him. But DK Metcalf was my wide receiver one. I think there was a lot of overreactions about him. I think there was a lot of people that were extremely anti-Metcalf. When their points, really, you could tell they didn't watch a second of his tape because the injury concerns are a thing, but you can't box score scout him. He was outproducing A.J. Brown and DeMarcus Lodge, two really good Ole Miss receivers. When Metcalf was on the field, he was clearly the number one wideout. And I think the tape showed a lot more than what that slow three-cone drill did. And so I hope for the NFL's sake, their evaluation process, their credibility in the evaluation process, that it was more so about the health of DK Metcalf as to why he fell, and not because maybe they read into it like a lot of DK Metcalf haters did. I think the Eagles are going to regret it. I really do. Even if they get the next Alshon Jeffrey, I think the NFL could be looking back and saying, damn, how did the next elite receiver fall to what was the final second round pick, you know, the 57th, or I'm sorry, that was the Eagles pick, the 64th overall player. I think Metcalf and Russell Wilson is going to be a lethal combination down the road with the Seahawks. And then, so I take him in my hypothetical for the Eagles at 53. At 57, I come back around. I pass on David Montgomery and Daryl Henderson because I like the depth at running back in this class. And I go with Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, who surprisingly fell into day 3. Again, the board just did not fall the way I thought it was going to in this draft. But hey, that's why we love the NFL draft, because it's the, I would say, the biggest unknown of anything in sports, right? Even games are so unpredictable. But the NFL draft, why do you think mock drafts? To me, I find super fun, but at the end of the you know the day, I mean, I got what, 3 or 4 right in my first round. I can't remember a time doing mock drafts for the past decade. I can't remember a time where I've gotten more than like 6 picks right in a mock draft, and it's so unknown. So we have the 127th overall pick here in the 4th round and also the 138th. We keep both picks because in my hypothetical, I did not move up for Andre Dillard. There was a lot of talent still there to be had with only 3 picks in between 21 and 25 before the Eagles could make that 25th pick. 3 teams went ahead of them, and I like the talent there. So we keep that 4th round pick, and with one of them, again, this is a guy that went undrafted, but for the sake of the game, I think he still should have been someone, and I thought at the time he was someone that was going to go early in day 3. He was my RB2, which is a lot higher than most people had him. Most people had him a lot lower, probably in their, you know, I think the highest I've seen him in RB rankings was maybe 11th or 12th, and it's Bruce Anderson from North Dakota State. He signed as an undrafted rookie with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, by the way. Think he's going to end up as the starter there this year at some point. So for you fantasy players out there, Bruce Anderson, especially in dynasty leagues, keep an eye out for him. I would have taken him, again, this is Lou DiBiase, the GM, round 4. I would have taken him at 127th overall, and he's going to be my future RB1, another guy that can do it all, that I'm going to pair with Jordan Howard and Corey Clement next year, and I'm going to get instant production out of. So I would have took Bruce Anderson with that 4th-round pick, and then the other one that they have, because now they keep both 4th-round picks as they sit tight in the first round, they didn't have a tackle now that they don't have Dillard. I would have went with Oli Udo from Elon. Raw tackle, pair him up with Jordan Mailata, develop the hell out of both of those guys, and hope that one of them can eventually replace Jason Peters. The length, I think he has the upside, much like Mailata, where he is no sure thing being a 6th-round pick in real life in the 2019 NFL draft. I would have taken him in the 4th round. He was higher on my board coming out of Elon, a smaller school. I think with him and Mailata doubling down, much like they did at pass rusher with Sharif Miller and Josh Sweat, I think that would have been a good idea if they missed out on Jawan Taylor and Andre Dillard, which in my case, I think Montez Sweat was just too good to pass up. So in the 4th round, I go with Bruce Anderson and Oli Udo. Then at pick 5 in the 5th round, I'm sorry, in the 5th round at the 167th overall pick, we've taken a defensive end, a offensive lineman at the tackle position, running back, safety, wide receiver, really checked off the list of future needs for the Eagles, and maybe an immediate one soon at left tackle, depending on what happens with Jason Peters after 2019. I would have double dipped at running back because Jordan Howard's future with Philadelphia after 2019 is unknown. And if you take Bruce Anderson and he emerges as a top running back, if Corey Clement bounces back and shows more that he is the 2017 style, and next year's class, by the way, is going to be really good at running back. So Jordan Howard, even if they didn't take Miles Sanders, his future with the Eagles is definitely not secure. A player much like Bruce Anderson that I really like that went to the Kansas City Chiefs, and I hate that Andy Reid got his hands on him because I think he's going to be really good in that offense. I think I'm going to be really jealous that they got that player. It's Darwin Thompson out of Utah State. So then for me, the future at running back hopefully is going to be Bruce Anderson, Darwin Thompson, and Corey Clement. So that's what I do in the 5th round. Then I wrap up the draft at pick 197 in round 6. Remember, we keep this one because we're not making that trade with Baltimore. And I take defensive tackle out of Florida State, DeMarcus Christmas, who has, even though the Eagles would have signed Tim Jernigan right before the draft, Jernigan's only on a 1-year deal. Malik Jackson is in his late 20s. Got to really continue to invest in the future of the defensive line in the trenches, and I think Christmas provides a lot of upside with his pass rush ability and just a mauler, a powerful guy that once, you know, his power moves with his hands, he can swipe and get after the quarterback up the middle. I think doubling down with Jernigan and DeMarcus Christmas there, seeing the injuries they've had at defensive tackle over the years, I think that's very important. So overall, I think my haul would have still been pretty good. I would have took Montez Sweat, DK Metcalf, Chauncey Gardner-Johnson. Then in the day 3 range, Bruce Anderson, Oli Udo, Darwin Thompson, and DeMarcus Christmas. I like that one a lot better than what they did. But at the same time, again, I'm very happy with what the Eagles did in the draft. They changed their philosophy on the fly from quantity to quality, and I like that. Some people are like, well, that's not what you preached before. You said you want as many picks because you know that no team is going to hit on more. You know, every team's, it's an unknown what they're going to get in these drafts. So for you to say we don't need as many picks because we're going to nail them is kind of egotistical. I liked that point of view, but I also understand them saying, you never know. Again, you never know how the board's going to fall. So when we have the opportunity to get an Andre Dillard, when we have an opportunity to get a Miles Sanders in the second round and an Arcega Whiteside, but specifically Dillard here because they gave up the picks, they're going to give up a fourth round pick and a sixth round pick to make sure that the left tackle position of the future for Carson Wentz is secure. So I really like what they did, but that is what I would have did if I was Howie Roseman at the time of the 2019 NFL draft just a couple weeks ago. So we hope you enjoyed this edition of the Locked On Eagles podcast. Once again, if you haven't already, please subscribe to the show. We record 4 to 5 days a week, even throughout the summer. So you Eagles junkies out there, if you need your fix, Locked On Eagles is your daily source for the Philadelphia Eagles. Hopefully you can follow us on Twitter at LockedOnBirds, at DiBiase_LOE, and at Gino_LOE. Our written content as well, always up on LockedOnEagles.com. And as always, thank you for downloading, thank you for listening, and let's go Birds, baby.